What up, what up, what up? What's going on? Welcome back to the Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne. Brad, my brother, what are we talking about today, my friend?
We're going to talk about mind over matter. And I got a quote here. If you change how you think, you change your mindset. If you change your mindset, you change your behaviors. If you change your behaviors, you change your habits. If you change your habits, you change your outcomes. And if you change your outcomes, you change your life.
Man, all those changes, I'm about to change my mind. Let's go.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job. Mental battles. Mental battles.
Hey, man. Eat some air for life, baby.
Like, what it be like, what it do, back in here, another episode of the Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne. Man, feels good to be back here, and we are live. If you are listening and you're not listening to us live, check us out in the Eager to Run Club. The Eager to Run Club is a free run group. If you ever took a step in your life, join the Eager to Run Club. If you ever crawled in your life, join the Eager to Run Club. Is a free run group with a lot of awesome resources, a lot of awesome people in there, a lot of awesomeness going on. And man, we are super excited to be back. So Brad, man, we got a three-time offender. You know, they say three strikes you're out, but I don't think we're going to count them out just yet. But we're bringing them back, I guess, for a good reason, man. I'm going to blame you for this, but who we got with us today?
Yeah, this is my man, Tucker. Tucker, take it away because you already know the drill.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, guys. Stoked to talk about this great topic today.
Yeah, we're talking mind over everything. And you know, when Tucker got on the screen today, I just noticed something in him, and I called him out right from the get-go. I said, Tucker, you're a hockey guy, aren't you? Tucker, tell us a little bit about your hockey life for a minute.
Yeah, man. I was skating at 4 years old growing up in New England. That was just kind of what you did in the winters. And so I've been playing hockey most of my life. That was my main sport. Learned a lot from being a part of a team and just going out there each and every day and working hard and working on those skills. And I still love playing to this day, just being a part of a group of people, getting together and trying to have fun and go win a game once a week it still brings me a lot of joy.
I love it, man.
That's cool, man. So I'm, you know, if y'all weren't on earlier, those that are watching and listening, I was offended that Brad didn't see the hockey background in me. He never said that about me, being a hockey player. He didn't pick it up, man. Also, I used to never play hockey. I never skated before. So go ahead with the rest of the
story. And I will back myself up, because if you had the backwards hat on, you had the flow like my man Tucker. Yeah, we would have thrown you in on that mix.
All right.
Man.
Well, you know, hockey's one of those sports that's unfortunately been very much a rich white guy sport. And so Dwayne, you know, it is changing. It is changing. It's good to see a guy, Anthony Duclair, has been in the league for a while, has been doing a lot of work. He played in Tampa, as well as played for my New York Rangers for a bit. And so there's a lot of guys that are, you know, people of color who are in the league and doing a lot of work to expand that sport. But yeah, it's unfortunately been more of a white guy sport. And I do fit the look pretty well.
Now I gotta get one of his jerseys, man. I gotta rep the brother that's out there fighting. Yeah.
I love it.
Keandre Miller, he's on my Rangers, and he's a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Good mm-hmm. stuff, man. All right, B, go ahead, man. Get into it.
Yeah.
Maybe, unless your internet is running out. So Tucker, man, we're gonna talk about the mind of everything. Yeah, you had cut up a little bit on us, B.
My bad.
Yeah, you're back now. Beautiful. You got to love live TV.
Oh, live television, live and in person. where I was going is, you know, when you're running or if you're in fitness or just in general in life, a lot of mind games can be played. So today we're going to talk about mindset. And we talked about the Everest, chase your Everest or pursue your Everest. The last time we had you on, Tuck, and you just did something absolutely magnificent a handful of weeks ago. And you did a long distance run. And I want to talk about the conversations that you're having in your mind, that dialogue, you know, the negativity that's stirring up from time to time. How do you overcome some of those side-steered conversations that you have in your head?
Yeah. I mean, when you threw this topic out to me, a lot of things started to come to mind. And I just did a podcast episode on my show, the Training with Tucker podcast, shameless plug. Where I talked about developing range, and I'm an athlete who prides myself on having like a wide range of interests and skills in the running world. So in this year alone, I have done an 800 meter race, 1 mile, 5K, 10K, half marathon, 100K, and I'll be doing a marathon in 3 weeks. So I've done pretty much everything from like 4.5 minutes to 14 hours. Wow. And one of the things that I've realized by doing a lot of different things is that when you're pushing yourself to the limit, no matter what the distance is, no matter how fast you're going, it's hard. And, you know, doing a 1 mile race, even though it's short, it's much shorter than the ultra marathons that I do, you're into that discomfort really, really quick. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's running or you're in the gym or whatever you're doing, when you're pushing yourself to the limit, like you're going to get into that realm of discomfort. And when you're there, your mind is going to try and convince you that you should stop. Mm-hmm. And say like, no, this is uncomfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable. We should stop. And, so yeah, it's just this interesting battle that we face in any of these physical pursuits, where the more exposure you have to doing challenging things, mm-hmm. the more comfortable you become being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the more that you realize, like, and your brain kind of learns, okay, this isn't catastrophic. I don't need to shut the systems down. We're not going to die. I can do one more rep, you know, I can keep going one more mile. And so then you do develop that skill to be able to kind of push through, but it is a battle.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you said there too, is like, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 4 minutes or 4 hours or 14 hours. Like, if you're trying to get to your limit and then exceed that limit, I mean, you're going to put yourself through some real, real tough conversations and decisions. But one thing also that I like that you said there is, you know, when you're in fitness or if you're in running or just doing anything hard, that first time, reading a book, even the first time that you do it, you have to do some real convincing, man. You gotta tell yourself over and over and over, just read one more word, just take one more step, just try one more rep. But the more times that you're in the game, the longer that you're in the game, man, you become resilient. You become mentally and physically stronger. Dwayne, your prime example, you know, that first workout, man, the trash bag story. I love to hear the trash bag story. That was a day that you had to do some talking to yourself. Hey, man, I can do one more rep. I can do one more step. Mandy, stop yelling at me, you know, and now you're up at 3:30 in the morning. Everybody sees you're up at 3 in the morning every single day. And it doesn't get easier. You just able to quiet that voice down and say, no, I'm in control. And I think with running and fitness, like, you just have to really give yourself some perspective and say, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm in control. And that's kind of what I was going to say there. But
I love that, man. So I want to bring up something that I actually watched the Shannon Sharpe, Ronnie Coleman interview yesterday live, and it was really good. And Tucker, you brought this up, you know, you talked about, you know, one more rep, and then you realize that, you know, that you're not going to die, you know. And Ronnie Coleman, I mean, it has to be 40 years later, still talks about how he regrets not doing, what was it, 800 pounds, six reps. He did five. He cut short. In his mind, he thought it was, you know, he couldn't go no more. But then after he did that fifth rep, and then he was like, man, I should have went down for six. Like, it's funny how you talk yourself out of it, and then you regret it for years. Like, he literally, 40 years later, is still like, Shannon was like, what's the thing you regret? Man, I wish I'd have got that six rep on that 800-pound squat. Like, it's just amazing this how your mind works like that, man, and you cut yourself short, man. And you know, being a long distance runner is something I have nothing, you know, no ideas about. But I can understand that there's probably some instances where, you know, you might have cut short, and you know, in that case, can you think of an example of that, Tucker, and maybe how you know, bounce back from that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, just to add on one thing of what you're saying there, I haven't done a whole lot of weightlifting in my life, but you know, I do have a bench press in my house here, and I've been trying to be more consistent with it. And I keep it pretty lightweight because I don't have anybody spotting me. But I remember back in like my college days, I worked out with a buddy of mine who was on the football team, and he was great. He was always encouraging me, and he would be right there to, like, you know, help me out. And just having like somebody spotting you with their hands maybe near the bar gives you that confidence that, like, yeah, I can do one more. There were so many times where maybe I was lifting like close to my max, and you'd get the bar up and your mind is saying like, no, I can't do one more. I can't do one more. And having somebody say like, come on, one more, you can do it. I got you. It gives you the confidence to like say, okay, I'll go down, I'll do one more, because there's that thought in your mind of like, yeah, if I go down, I may not get this back up. Mm-hmm. And the second you start thinking in that kind of a setting, the second you start thinking like, I can't do this, you're not going to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you have that person who can kind of override that thought in your head saying, I can't do another rep. So that's, you know, where I think you guys being in, like, doing the group workouts and seeing how positive you guys are, just encouraging people to get out there and put in the work and do one more rep. Like, that makes such a difference for people in having that positive reinforcement saying, yeah, you can do this. Mm-hmm.
That was great, man. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead, Brad.
No, that was huge, because I was just, I don't know if you guys know who Les Brown is, but Les Brown is one of my favorite all-time motivational speakers. And I was just watching some Les the other day, and he was talking about.
Uh-oh.
He's gone.
He's gone again.
Well, I can answer your other question there until Brad comes back. I have, in my running career, I have not finished one race. And so that was an interesting experience, because, you know, I think as we're talking about like the shorter stuff or doing a, you know, bench press or that sort of thing, like, you are right in it. Mm-hmm. In that feeling is very, very present of, I don't know if I can do this. Whereas doing like an ultra marathon, I would say it's more like death by a thousand cuts. You don't have that ever present, like, in the front of your mind feeling of, this is traumatic, I cannot do this. It's more like a background noise that is just somewhere back there chipping away as you go along, hour by hour, starting to build and starting to get a little bit louder. And so I ended up dropping out of this race at 57 miles. It was a 100-miler, and there was a lot of different factors, but the mental side of things, that was really what inevitably led to me dropping out. And so, yeah, you know, there were certainly a lot of moments, as you're mentioning, with the, you know, the 800-pound squat. The next day I woke up and I was like, why the hell didn't I keep going? You know, I could have gone just maybe to that next aid station, maybe just one more mile, just go eight more miles to that next aid station and just see what happens. But, you know, I think overall I try not to dwell on it too much and learn from those experiences. because you can't go back. You can't wind back the clock, but you can learn from it and try to apply those lessons to the next one. And so something that I have taken with me into future races, and something that I try to talk to my athletes about, especially the ultra runners, is that feeling of like, listen, when you think you are completely done and you can't go any further, remind yourself that tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to have those regrets. Mm. You're going to say, man, I should have just gone a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And so then maybe in that moment you can say, all right, I don't want to wonder. I don't want to have those regrets and say, what if? So just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys hear me or not?
Yes, we can hear you.
two points to that. And we've talked about that first, Dwayne, to go on that regret story. Sure. Every time you walk away from the bench and you don't do that last rep or you don't do that last set, as soon as you get in the locker room, the first thought you have is, should I go back? You know, and should I go, you know, and just exactly what Tucker just said. But the story that I want to come back all the way full circle was the Roger Bannister story. So I was listening to Les Brown the other day, and he brought up Roger Bannister. A lot of runners know who he is because in 1954, he set the mile record. He broke the 4-minute barrier. And in 1850, they started timing the mile. It took 104 years for somebody to.
Dang it, Brad.
So close to the punchline, too.
Yeah, it gets really good.
Am I back?
You're back. Now you're back.
4 minutes. 4 minutes. I don't know where I cut out. Am I still here?
Yep. You're here.
he broke the 4-minute barrier, right? Since 1954, 20,000 people have broken 4 minutes for their mile time. That includes kids.
Hmm.
20,000 people, because at one point Roger Bannister broke through that barrier and he gave a lot of people a sense of belief. If somebody else can do it, so can I. And if it's dreamable, it's possible, is what Les said. And don't get that mixed up or don't get confused. Like, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's possible. You can go out there. If you can dream it, it's possible. He brought up Murphy's Law. If there's an opportunity for something to go wrong, something will go wrong.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you hit that 80.
Yeah, no, I like that story about breaking the barrier. It remind me of what's my man, Fletcher.
CT.
I can't quote him verbatim, but whatever is impossible is only impossible till somebody's crazy enough to make it possible.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. And that's real, man. That's so real.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the running game. I mean, I don't know exactly who did the first ultra marathon, but the first person that did an ultra marathon, like, you're crazy. That's not even possible. I'll go back to 2014 when my brother did his first marathon. He came home and he was all excited and he said, "I'm doing a marathon." And we laughed at him. I said, "No way that's in your cards. You can't do that." He went out and did it. Prep, rep, repeat. Belief. Yeah.
Well, there's an interesting story, and I may not get it perfectly right, but the Western States 100 is one of the oldest and most iconic 100-mile foot races in the U.S., and it's in California. And so the story goes something like this, that it was traditionally a horse race, and one participant one year, his horse came up lame before the start, the horse wasn't healthy enough to do it. And so he decided, what the heck, I guess I'll just go try and do it on foot. And so it's a horse race and he's out there on foot and he ends up doing 100 miles and he beats some of the horses. So yeah, it's like, I don't know who the first person was to do it. But you're right. You know, it's only impossible until somebody else goes out and does it. And what we're seeing now in the ultra world is ultras, especially like these 100-mile ultras, used to be thought of as like just pure endurance, willpower, but not speed. Like it was just go out there and slog through it. And now people are going out and doing incredible paces for and holding them for 100 miles, doing things that we never, ever thought were possible. So it's cool to see that. But again, nobody thinks that they can do it until you kind of see someone else go do something. And then you start thinking, well, maybe I can't. Why not me? Mm-hmm.
Why not me? And isn't that so relatable to our demographic, Dwayne? Because how many people have lost 100 pounds? Why not me? And a Absolutely. Lot of that stems, success, the foundation to success is self-belief. You have to first start believing in who you are and who you are intended to be. Because if you don't believe in you, ain't nobody else coming to your rescue. Nobody's going to come and say, hey, Brad, you know, I'm going to pull you along. No, you got to pull yourself along. You got to believe in your own abilities. You got to believe in who you're going to be, plain and simple. Why not me?
I love it. Good stuff. All right, B, we're getting ready to land this plane. You know what? You know something I noticed? So you picked up on Tucker's hockey thing, the hockey swag, you know what I'm saying? But I actually maybe I didn't pick up on it, but after Tucker said he had a podcast, which he hadn't invited us on yet, but
we're not going to talk about
it. But anyway, after that, I noticed Tucker got the podcast swag, man. He got the tempo, he got the patience, he know how you got to pick his spots. I peeped you, man. I've been in the game a long time. So because you're a three-time guest and you got the podcast swag, man, I'm actually give you the last words of this episode, man. What do you want to leave folks before we get up out of here, man?
Oh man, well, thank you so much. And you guys are welcome on my podcast anytime. So let's set a date.
Let's do it.
I'll leave it with this. I think that as we've said, you know, you need to be self-motivated. Why not you? All that good stuff. Also really important to have a good support system around you and have those people that are telling you, you can do this and they believe in you. So whether that's having a coach, having a trainer, having a physical therapist, having a therapist, whatever that may be, build a team around you of people that support you and lift you up. People that you're training with that are helping you out along the way, that goes such a long way in just getting you to that start line, right? And putting in the work along the way, building up brick by brick. It's so much easier when you have that team around you. So go out, find your people. That's what I'll leave it with.
I love it. Teamwork made a dream work, baby. Till next time. Yeah.